Welcome, everybody. So there's a brief announcement. Right after this session is lunch. So because of the rain, you're just going to go straight out here and keep going straight till you can't go straight anymore, which is going to lead you out to where the tents are and all the food is under the tent. You're just going to grab your food and come back in. You can eat in the Deshe Center, which they'll show you where that is if you're not familiar, or in the sanctuary. Okay? And this is Church Planting, Mountain View Church, with Pastor Dylan Johnson.
And Pastor Lizzie Johnson. Give it up for Pastor Lizzie Johnson.
Okay,
no, it's not your fault. She wasn't included on the list, so that's our fault, I guess.
That's his wife.
That, yes, if you were wondering. That's why we have the same last name. Hey, welcome to this workshop on church planting. This workshop's going to cover some general church planting things as well as the specifics of our own church plant. It's going to cover topics such as calling, discerning what God's calling you to do, specifically in church planting, and then maybe some of the things to consider and some of the practical and helpful tools and steps to make those next steps in church planting, and a little bit of our own story in that. But just brief introductions. My name's Dylan Johnson. I'm ordained with the Assemblies of God. I was youth pastor here at the Mission Church for a little while. This is my home church. Pastor Greg is my father. Not a bad guy. Just last year, we made the decision that we are going to be transitioning into church planting, and the Mission Church said, hey, this is a worthy endeavor. And so we'll talk a little bit more about the journey, but my wife and I, we started dating in 2018, and before I even asked her to be my girlfriend, we had a discussion like, hey, this is my calling, this is where we're going, and she's like, this is my calling, this is where we're going. We both knew we wanted the church plant. That was like a foundation in our relationship, that God was calling us to do that in a place like New York. So God had put that on our heart a long time ago, and then, you know, 7 years later, it came to fruition. So that's a little bit about myself. My wife's going to share a little bit about herself as well.
Yeah, hi, everyone. I am Lizzie Johnson. I am also ordained with Assemblies of God. I am currently a children's therapist, children's and teens. So that's what I do as my full-time job. I'm also a mom. We have a little daughter named Murphy.
Yes, the best.
Yeah, she's great. She's 8 months old, so it's been a wild ride, and she loves to explore, and the world is her oyster, literally. She's great. So if you see her around, you see a cute baby, that's our baby. Okay. Yeah. So I just say, that's it. That's
she's the only cute baby. All right. Let's just distinguish that right here. Right?
Yes. I've been in my position for over a year now. I work with the Children's Club of Poughkeepsie. That's my organization that I do. And I love what I do. So before we begin, I do have a question for you guys. When you hear church planting, what words come to mind?
Hard work. Good. What else? This is participatory.
Starting from scratch.
Good. What else? Discipleship. Awesome. Great commission. What else?
Yeah.
What
other building things? Connections.
Building connections. Good. What else?
Share with the people.
Sharing with people. The people.
Souls, not numbers.
Souls, not numbers.
That's
great.
Good.
The unknown. Hey,
yes.
There we go. The
small
unknown.
Small groups.
Okay.
That's good.
He only said community service.
Community service. Serving the community.
Clean slate.
Okay.
Ooh, I love all of this. I want to keep going.
Yes.
Well, those are all good. What you guys are saying. That's in the direction that we're heading. So we want to start off by helping you guys understand the feeling from feeling called to actually doing it. So calling often starts with a burden, right? A frustration, a vision of what could be different.
Yeah, so a calling, sometimes especially in our charismatic Pentecostal world, we think like a calling is going to be like the bright lights. I'm going to speak in tongues and someone's going to interpret as, you know, you just said you're going to be church planting. Like, we think it's going to be something like that, but usually it starts, as Pastor Lizzie said, as some kind of desire, a burden. We see something and we're like, that doesn't look right. Something needs to change. It's seeing a need, recognizing a need, and then God puts it on your heart to fulfill that need. All right? It's recognizing where there's a need and recognizing that you are the answer to that need. All right? So what does calling look like? Well, in the Bible, we have calling of a bunch of different individuals. Two prophets to look at when I think about calling is Isaiah and Ezekiel. There's plenty of others, Moses, Jeremiah, Jonah, so many individuals who received callings. But we're going to quickly look at Ezekiel and Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6 and Ezekiel chapters 1 through 3, we see the calling of these two prophets. And something that we see is in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, he says, you know, I am an unclean man with unclean lips from unclean people. You know, he recognizes that he is unholy and there is something distinct and holy that is drawing him into his presence. He has a vision of the temple and there is the Holy of Holies seated on the throne. The angels are saying, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah recognizes there's something greater, more powerful, more beautiful, more wonderful, more perfect than he could ever be. And he is in the presence of this thing and he's being drawn into something greater and bigger, holier, scarier, unknown than himself, right? And then we see Ezekiel, right? He has the vision of the chariot that goes to and forth, mounted on the wheels, inside the wheels, and the cherubim in heaven. And he has this grandiose vision of the one sitting on the throne, right? And then we see in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2, it says that the Spirit of God entered Ezekiel and put him on his feet, right? And we see this all throughout Ezekiel, that it's not Ezekiel making decisions. It's not Ezekiel in the driver's seat. It says the Spirit of God enters him and moves him, stands him on his feet, sends him place to place, that there's something outside of him that enters him and is moving and operating on his behalf. That calling is something outside of us, that God may show us a need or a desire or something we want to be a part of or fulfill. However, it's going to be bigger than you. It's going to be harder than you could imagine. There's going to be a lot of unknowns. There's going to be a lot of giants, a lot of Jerichos, and we're going to feel like grasshoppers. But yet, we have a God who is able, who is bigger, and he is greater, holier, more powerful, and we don't need to worry because he goes before us if we're following his calling, all right? So we also see in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, that God says, who will I send? And Isaiah says, here I am, send me, right? There's a call. There's a recognition and a duty, right? That God doesn't just, like, he doesn't just put us in the passenger seat and he says, all right, just watch me do all these things, right? No. He equips Isaiah to go and do the work. Mm-hmm. He puts his word in his mouth and he says, go, speak to the people, give them my word. In Ezekiel chapter 3, 4 through 5, God is commissioning Ezekiel to speak to the exiles in Babylon and giving them the word. He says, eat the scroll, and it's sweet to the taste, you know, because he's taking in the word of God. He's going to do something that is beautiful and magnificent. So calling, how does it develop? How does it, in our own context, how did that develop for us? Well, I can speak for myself. I grew up in New York. I grew up in this church. I grew up going to youth convention, youth camps, retreats, rallies, you know, the whole kit and caboodle. I love church. I always loved, grew up church, a PK. I always loved it. But when I went to Bible college, you know, I learned a lot about the Bible, learned a lot about ministry. I looked back at New York and I was like, man, I want God to do something new in New York. I knew God was drawing me to the state of New York. I didn't have a perfect picture, but he was like, hey, like, I'm calling you home. In fact, I had a dinner with a couple friends from high school. They weren't saved. And we actually met for dinner in the city of New Paltz, where we're church planting now. And I got dinner with them, and they weren't saved, so I was telling them about my faith, telling them about Bible college, and God spoke through them to me. And they said, you know, Dylan, if you started a church here, I'd go to that church. And I was like, in those moments, from the words of my unsaved friends, the Holy Spirit was speaking, like, you're coming back here. Like, you're going to do a ministry here. And you're going to reach the people that you've grown up with, the people that you've lived around, the people that are in your community. Those are the people that you're being called to. You know, and Pastor Lizzie, how about you? What was your calling and what was your experience coming into church planting and the calling that you answered?
Yeah, I grew up in Massachusetts, so obviously just like New York, a very, you know, secular place. I went to school in Florida. I was very involved in my school. I also grew up, just like Pastor Dylan, like in an AG church, very involved in every AG ministry for kids that you can think of, even for old AG people. If you remember JBQ, Junior Bible Quiz, that was me. Yes, Teen Bible Quiz too. I memorized a lot of chapters in Hebrews that unfortunately I can't recall now, word for word, but I did do that. So I went to school and I was in my ministry classes and I just had this big burden. In one of my classes, there was a study done that was saying the most post-Christian cities in the United States, and you would think it would be, you know, Seattle, Los Angeles, Miami, but it was actually all the Northeast. So it was actually the town that I grew up in, which is Springfield, Massachusetts. It was the smaller cities, not the bigger cities, in Massachusetts and New York and Connecticut. So that really, what we were saying, that burden, frustration grew in me. And I knew that as awesome as Florida is and how there's a church in every corner.
By the way, I got a word from the Lord. None of you are called to Florida. None of you, all right? Yes. I just got that from the Lord. None of you are called to Florida. Keep going, sorry.
As awesome as it is, the Lord put that burden in me, knowing that the people in the Northeast needed to hear about Jesus as much as other places as well. And that's where I started to intern in a church plant in Connecticut, and slowly the Lord was just kept on revealing to me that was a calling that He placed on my life. Okay, so from that calling that's developed, that goes that comes with growth, right? So, what does growth look like in that calling? It took time for us to discern with prayer. With talking with our mentors, for our professors, as we're learning, you know, doing ministry classes, that was just the way that we were discerning our calling. And for me, I knew the Lord was calling me into church planting. I didn't know the exact details of it. It wasn't like what Pastor Dylan was saying at the beginning. It wasn't like God's audible voice saying, you are church planting in Newport, New York, and with your future spouse. It was not like that. I wish it was. That would have been nice, right, for me to know. But I had to volunteer at a church, but I had to discover, do I like children? Do I like to be a greeter? Do I like to do this and that? And that's how the Lord was preparing my heart and my mind on my calling in church planting. Like I said, it took time to discern that calling with prayer, with speaking with mentors, the people around me. And like I said as well, it's not always clear or instant, and it often comes with doubt.
Yeah, I would say find mentors, men and women that you trust, that if you feel like God's leading you in a direction, that you can go to those people in confidence and say, I feel like God's calling me. If you're feeling like you're called to church planting, or maybe you're a pastor in a church and you are maybe like exploring the idea of church planting, go to another pastor, go to a friend, someone that you would consider more spiritual than yourself, and say like, hey, like, can you pray and fast with me through this? Help me discern what God's calling me to do. Because it is a tough calling. It's a hard calling. There's a lot of unknowns. And I hope that this workshop would just as much as encourage you to church plant as much as it would scare you away from church planting. Because it's a real, serious, difficult thing that unless you're called by God, you should not be doing it. It's
also these mentors that can ask you the hard questions.
Like, yes.
Why do you really want to do it?
Exactly.
Impress you instead of, oh, just sound like a nice thing to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Someone who can speak to you honestly. You know, can ask you tough questions. Like, is it just because you don't like your church? You know, is it just because your pastor says something you didn't like that you want to go to a new church now?
Yeah. And like, see if you're ready too.
Yeah.
I was under the leadership of a pastor that was his niche. He church planted and helped other church planters. And there was another person on staff that told everybody that he wanted a church plant in Boston, which is great. Boston needs churches. I agree with that 100%. But yes, but he wanted to make sure that this person was ready and worked in ministry and grew in his discipleship as well. And I think that's very important that, like, you know, what you just said, it's not like, okay, you want a church plant? Sure, go ahead. You know, we need to see and make sure that our brothers and sisters are ready for that commitment to be that hands and feet.
And so when it comes to when you have confirmed that calling, right? You've confirmed that calling through prayer and fasting. You've confirmed it with mentors. When you've received that confirmation, not just a feeling or an inclination, you get 2 to 3 witnesses that you can say, hey, like, this is it. Like, this is the calling, you know? Then it moves from a state of calling to a state of obedience, right? Because it's not enough to just be called. You have to be obedient to that calling. Like we mentioned Jonah before, right? He got the calling loud and clear, but he was not obedient.
Yeah.
And sometimes our calling brings us to a place where we're excited at first, brings us to a place where we're like, I don't know about this. Like, think about the Israelites going out of Egypt, right? They're all happy to get out of Egypt, but then they sent the spies into Canaan, and they said, we're grasshoppers compared to these people. Let's go back to Egypt, you know? It has to move from calling to obedience, where you said, God has called me, now I need to obey. No matter how hard, how difficult, Jericho's, giants, it doesn't matter. I must obey. You must know that you know that you know that you're called to do this, and that you need to obey that calling, okay? It's not enough to just be called, it's to obey that calling. You have to, you need to be able to take risks. You gotta be able to be okay with some instability in your life, some mystery, all right? This is really hard for type A personality people, right? You're not going to have all the answers. You're not going to have everything figured out. A lot of it is going to be flexibility, going with the flow, you know?
Faith,
exactly. Stepping out in faith, you know? Being able to take those risks. And, you know, just stepping into the unknown. Stepping out of that boat and fixing your eyes on Jesus.
Yes. And in that obedience, we have to make sure that we're not staying in our comfort zone, in that comfortable space where we always love to be. I know I'm guilty of that. And so I have here some things to kind of stir the pot for you guys a little bit. Sometimes that comfort may be like, oh, maybe later, right? Oh, you know, somebody has, okay, I don't have to do that at church or anything. I need more confirmation. I probably heard my pastor say this and this and that and this and that, but I need, I don't know, Pastor Linda to tell me, you know, that I was called.
Pastor Linda will tell you too, all right? Pastor Linda will tell you yes or no, all right?
Yeah, sometimes it gets stuck, like, I need more confirmation. I know I am that kind of person as well, and then I'll do it when I'm ready, right? Mm-hmm. That's the thing, is that we're never ready.
Never ready, yeah. Here's a word for those who want to get married, get a girlfriend, move somewhere, start a new career, want a church plant. You're never ready. You never have all the answers. You never have it all figured out. There's going to be some mystery that you're going to have to step out and say, God, I trust you. You're going to fulfill it. If you call me to it, you're going to provide. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the God who sees and provides when I'm in a situation where I'm in need. All right? He will provide. If he called you, we got to be people of faith. Amen?
Yeah.
He will provide for us. All right? We have to step out in faith. Obedience sounds like I don't have all the answers, but I'll take the next step anyway. John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's not just, you know, I'm going to do the righteous thing or I'm going to do the holy thing. It's God has commanded me in my life to go plant a church in New Paltz. And to not do that would be disobedience, would be running away like Jonah, all right? And so if we love God and if we truly believe in him, we need to step out in faith and be people of faith. Take those risks that he's called us to take. And in the end, if we're truly people of faith, they're not actually risks because we know he's faithful and he will provide, you know? He will always provide, no matter what that looks like. So, a little rhetorical question, you know, and this doesn't necessarily have to be for church planting, but something to reflect on, all right? What has God placed on your heart that you have not acted on? All right? Don't have to answer. It's a very personal question. But what is the command that the Spirit of Christ has put on your heart that he's waiting for you to obey? He's waiting for you to step out. We need to be people that are active, actively, proactively engaging in our faith, engaging what God has told us to do, or else we're in disobedience. Mm-hmm. It's not enough just to be, you know, holy rollers in the pews. We got to be active in our faith, answering the calling he's put on. God has such an extraordinary calling for each and every person's life. We need to be obedient and step out into that calling, whatever that looks like. So let's talk a little bit about the vision, right? So if you got to go from calling to obedience, but you need vision, all right? You need to be able to know where you're going and what that's going to look like. Now again, that's not having all the answers. That's not having it all figured out. That's being able to have eyes of faith and saying, I'm going to be obedient and this is what God's going to do in this situation, in this calling. So our vision for Mountain View Church, right? Quick scripture, Hosea 4:6. My people perish for lack of vision, lack of knowledge, all right? So we got to make sure we're being faithful to God, all right? What is the vision for Mountain View Church? Mountain View Church is our church, but in New Paltz. We have, I like three, Holy Trinity. Three is good. I grew up with vision statements of three, proclaiming Christ, training disciples, raising leaders, you know? Terry Doyle, my boy right there, we got it. There we go, all right? That's what I grew up with. Threes are good, so our vision statement is also in threes. It is grounded in Scripture, alive in the Spirit, and reaching New Paltz, all right? We need to know what we are doing, right? What is the goal? We want to be grounded in the Scriptures. There's plenty of churches in New Paltz that have left the Scriptures. They have left Orthodox Christianity, and they are chasing any whims, any progressive political ideology in the world. They have left the Scriptures, and so we as the body of Christ want to be grounded in the Scriptures. All right, alive in the Spirit. There's a lot of spirits in New Paltz, all right? Demonic forces, dark forces, deceitful spirits, spiritualists, Wicca, pagan, all that is huge in New Paltz. And even the things that people don't see as spirits, but are actual spirits. Addictions to drugs, people whose eyes are blinded by the lies of culture and the world, you know, deceitful spirits that are spewing lies in the secular world. It is a spiritually active place, but not with the right spirit. And so we want to be alive in the Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to lead our ministry, to activate our faith, and that we would be people of the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we would be unabashedly Pentecostal in a place like New Paltz. I think New Paltz needs a place that is Pentecostal, honestly. Amen. You need weird Christians in New Paltz, right? Because people are weird, so they need other weird people, and so we're the weird people for them, all right? So, and then finally, reaching New Paltz. We don't want to be a church that, we don't want people that are just playing church in New Paltz, right? We want to actually be a church for those people. And so we're out there every week praying over the town, talking with people, doing surveys. We're in contact with businesses and organizations locally so that they know that we're here for them. We are here to serve them and love them. You know, I've listened to some great workshops about same-sex attraction and security and all this awesome stuff. And one thing I keep hearing over and over again is we are here to, sorry.
Every
to,
time.
I talk with my hands, I'm sorry. Is to serve.
Rosy, right?
Yeah, no. We need to be people that serve and love.
Yeah.
Serve and love. That is our mandate. Jesus came, humbled himself, and served. Gave his life in love to his enemies. That's our example. That's the church planting model. We got to be there for our enemies. Those who curse God, we need to give them love and show them who Christ is, right? So who are we reaching? You need a who. Who are the people that are occupying that vision, right? Is it just you and your buddies? You and your church planting team? Or are you actually seeing the people of your town, of your community that are going to, people in your community, are they actually the people occupying your vision, right? We have a university in our town. Is it students that are going to be reading the Scriptures and alive in the Spirit and reaching their local community?
Praise God.
You know, we have spiritualists and Wicca in our town. Are they going to renounce these demonic things and become alive in the Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit? Like, who are the people occupying your vision? Is it just you and your friends and your family? Or is it the people that you're called to reach occupying your vision? Who are the people in your vision that you are trying to reach and want them to be a part of your faith community? All right? So, sorry, I talked a lot there. A lot of homosexuality, you know? How are you going to reach these people? How are you going to love and serve these people? There's some great workshops today to help you learn these things. But go ahead, Pastor Lizzie.
Go ahead. You could look at all of the things like the Wiccans and the, mm-hmm. you know, spiritualists and all that there. And that might, you know, be a little scary. But what you have is spiritually hungry people.
Yes.
And if in your vision you see them as spiritually hungry, not as witches, mm-hmm. but as spiritually hungry. And the word, you give them the word, and the word says, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes.
You know, and once you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, there is nothing else that will satisfy them.
Yeah, these are, like, I love what she says. These are spiritual people.
They're spiritual.
And we have the most powerful, most potent spirit that there is.
That's right.
We have something greater to offer them. The homosexual and the transgender, thank you, is looking for community, acceptance, and love.
Yeah.
Who gives more community, acceptance, and love than a God who died for them on a cross?
Yeah.
I mean, that is the ultimate example. They're looking for something, and we have the answer. All right, go ahead, Pastor.
Yes.
Sorry.
And with that also, I wanted to add that I saw this quote that has really resonated with everything that we're saying, but it's a quote that said that our church will not be content looking inward. Our church is made to reach the people that are not yet a part of us. And that's something that really is important for us to know when we're trying to step out of that comfort zone. And what Laura just said, you know, like, it might seem a little bit scary, right? Like the people that we're interacting with, but our church will not be content looking inward.
Yeah.
So that's our vision. So our mission, why do we exist? So we want to see God radically transform Newport in the surrounding areas. We want to see students find meaning and hope, right? As they're entering the world of adulthood and they're trying to discover who they are and what they're meant to be doing. We want them to find that meaning in their lives. We want to see the spiritualist, you know, find true comfort and hope as well, to not be oppressed, right, from what the enemy is giving them. We want hope to be found in Newport, and we want Newport to prosper and flourish like a city built on a hill.
That's right. We're there for the benefit of Newport. Like, here's the thing, is like, if you're called to a city, you should love that city.
Mm-hmm.
Love the people in that city. Mm-hmm. Listen, this is not to dog or any on anyone or anything, but like, I look at New York City. It's a nice place to visit, maybe go shopping, eat out, see a show. I ain't living in New York City. Like, that place is a mess, all right? But here's the thing. There are people who love New York City.
Amen.
People are called there. That's their people.
Yes.
That's their ministry. That's how I feel about Newport. People look at Newport, they're like, it's a little weird. It's pretty woke. You got a Free Palestine rally every weekend. Like, what's going on there? We don't want to be there. But me, I love that town. I love the people in that town. Those are my people, and I'll defend them. Like, don't talk bad about Newport. Those are my people. They're weird, and I'm weird, and I'm glad about it, all right? Those are my people, all right?
You moved there.
Yeah, I moved there. That's the thing. Like, you have to love the place you're going. Don't go as, like, you're going to be this conquering king who's going to go in and overthrow. No, no, no.
Yeah.
You're going in to serve.
Yeah.
You're going into love. That's your calling.
Dylan, can I just add that what you guys encourage when we go out in the rain and the snow and the freezing cold, looking forward to summer, when we go out there, we're not praying for change of these people.
Yeah.
We're praying blessings over them.
Yeah.
We're praying blessings over the businesses. Mm-hmm. We're praying for God's handiwork.
Yeah.
We're putting him at the center of it all.
That's our warfare. Our warfare is to bless. Our warfare is to bless and not curse, to love and not persecute, to go to the enemies of Christ and give him the gospel.
Yeah,
give him the, tell him that God died for you. Like, that is the gospel. That is the good news. So, just some of our values, which are dissected from our vision, and this is going to be contextual. My vision is not going to be your vision. Your values aren't my values. They may be similar, but it's going to be contextual. So our values are things like the scriptures. Like I said, we value our Pentecostal nature. We value being people of the Spirit. We value community. We want to be people that people can come and find a place, find a home, find acceptance, find hope. Those are our values, you know? And again, those are all good. You should not have the same exact values, though. Have your own. Thank you, Joan. For your own context, all right? So I want to jump ahead a little bit here and talk a little bit about the practical things, right? Because we're running out of time, all right? So let's talk a little about the process, right? So calling, obedience, vision, values. Now what's the process, all right? You feel like you want a church plant? Talk to your pastor about it. hear what they have to say, all right? Mm-hmm. We're a PAC, which means Parent Associated Church. We are under the Mission Church. This is our mama, all right? This is our mother church. They take care of us. They love us. They still pay my salary, praise God. Not all churches have that benefit, but you want the covering of some church. You want the covering of someone over you. Talk to the network. Reach out to the network office and say, hey, I'm looking to plant a church. They've got resources, training, mentor. Reach out to CMN, Church Multiplication Network. Reach out to them. That's the AG's arm of church planting. They will train you, resource you, fund you. They're amazing, all right? Churchmultiplication.net, I believe, is their website. And then finally, reach out to the broader body of Christ. Reach out to churches that you know, other pastors you know. We have been so blessed by the generosity of the body of Christ. The amount of churches that have loved on us, the amount of churches that have donated financially to us. It's hard, it's difficult to ask for money. But if God is calling you to do it, he will provide.
Yeah.
And who will he use more than the people of God to help you, right? So don't be scared, step out in faith. Ask, God will provide for your needs, all right? So. I got one minute, all right? How to keep up with us? This is our website, Mountain View NP, all right? That's going to have all of our yada, 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 day-to-day, blah, 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 values, teams. This is our countdown to our launch. We have our Instagram, Mountain View NP. It's beautiful. My wife runs it, follows on Instagram. That's where we're most active. And if you'd like to receive our newsletter, send me an email. I'll add you to our newsletter. You all got a card there, a prayer card. So shoot me a text, shoot me an email, love to connect with you. If you have any questions about church planning or anything, you can come and see me or Pastor Lizzie anytime for the rest of the day.
Thank you, Pastor.